We've been talking about new circumstances, dealing with new circumstances and people and ourselves. Today is a new beginning with God. God's already called out to us and said the very thing in our hearts and our lives. One of the great hymns of our faith is when we all get to heaven. In the chorus it says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Two pages over, 516, is when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Will I? Will you? And then two more pages over is, shall we gather at the river that flows by the throne of God? The question is simple. Will we? Are we going to heaven? Is our relationship with Jesus Christ, with God through Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is it really what it ought to be to get us to heaven? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and following, here's part of it, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's a very powerful statement. And he goes on to say, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he who does that will enter. We have a message to proclaim to this community. And there are plenty of people to proclaim it to. I don't have to worry about what's happening at XYZ Baptist Church down the street. All I need to worry about is what God's doing in me and us here. Because this is where God's called us. He goes on to say, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy? Didn't we work in Mark Club? Didn't we drive the bus? Didn't we do something for Jesus? And then I will declare, Jesus said, I never knew you. It's the continuation of this passage. I'm not making that up. Franklin Kirksey is a pastor in Alabama. I don't know if he's still at his church or this is a recent quote or not, but he said, you can know all the weighty facts about Jesus Christ. You can have real warm, fuzzy feelings when you sing the hymns of our faith. You can claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but he says you can still be lost and go to hell. That's a powerful statement. Most of us in this room know who Billy Graham is, what he did, the impact he had on our lives and the world. It was a privilege for Betsy and me to be a part of two different crusades, one in Charlotte, one in Columbia. He impacted our life. He said about Judgment Day this. He says, the Bible says there will be only one question on that day of judgment that really matters, the only thing that matters. What did you do with Jesus? I will tell you today, I had the conversation at Bountyland at 8:30 this morning with another couple of people getting ready to go to church at their churches. The world is doing away with Jesus. But what are we going to do with Jesus? Now, Billy Graham says, you don't go to hell for drinking liquor. I can hear him say that just in that southern drawl. You don't go to hell because you're a cusser using profanity. He says, you go to hell because you rejected Jesus. I worry about my grandchildren and their children because I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus. But they got to live until he comes again in this world. And I worry about them. This is a moment in our lives. This is a moment of truth. And we must decide, even if we're believers in Jesus Christ, what are we going to do with Jesus today? So you have your Bible. We're now in the end part of chapter 6 in Luke's Gospel, and I'm going to read it quickly and share my thoughts quickly with you. Beginning at verse 43, there's two parts here. We'll come back to that in a minute. Remember, many times Jesus used parables and stories to make his point perfectly clear when he was preaching about the kingdom of heaven. Verse 43 says, "No good tree bears bad fruit. As much as I tried to grow tomatoes in the backyard at Starview Drive while I was there those 14 and a half years in that house, I only found one spot that it would work. I tried to bless hard ground. I tried to bless the shade under the hickory trees. I tried to bless the gravel. It just didn't work. Oh, the plant would come up a little bit, but there'd never be a tomato on it. I finally found one place, a place that was cultivated, a place that was fertilized, a place that was protected from the harsh heat, but got enough sun that it could get the nutrients it needed, a place that got water in the right time that grew tomatoes well. And those good plants gave me good fruit." Jesus says, "No good tree bears bad fruit. Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit." You can't expect, you know, that old saying, the means justify the end, doesn't work. But here's what I underline in verse 44. I underline these words: each tree is recognized by its own fruit. He goes on to say, people don't pick figs from a thorn bush. They don't pick grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his own heart. And an evil man brings out evil things out of the evil things stored up in his heart. And then he says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now that's part one. Part two, I wrote in my Bible, so, then you read verse 46. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord? Good tree, bad tree, good fruit, bad fruit. You don't get that from that. So why do you call me Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. And he used another parable, another example. They're like a man building a house. He dug deep. He laid the foundation on rock. And when the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And the moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, it was destroyed, and that destruction was absolute, complete. Part one. This is what part one says to all of us. You and I are like a fruit tree, and our fruit will give us away. I want to say two thoughts. You know, you can take a squash and you can paint it up all you want to at Halloween and call it a pumpkin. It's not a pumpkin. I don't care what it looks like. I'm not going to quote that thing about lipstick on a pig, but you get the point. You and I will be recognized and we will be received into heaven one day for the fruit on earth. Now hear me, point two, or the next point. Our fruit will be recognized by what we did with Jesus. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, for God so loved the world. What did you do with that in your life? It's not enough to be able to quote it and tell you where it came from in the Bible. It's more of what we do with it. You don't find oranges in apple trees. You don't find pecans in pine trees. And you don't find Christians in heaven who don't know Jesus, who haven't given their heart and life totally to Him It's not going to happen. That's part one. Part two says this. You're either like a man who built his life with Christ correctly, or you're like the man who didn't build his life correctly at all. Jesus uses that metaphor to explain to us how we are to follow Jesus. Now, you look at verse 48, here's how we're to follow him. We got to dig deep. They dug deep. We got to dig deep into our heart, our mind, our soul, and our spirit. And if there needs to be repentance, we need to repent. If there needs to be rededication, we need to rededicate our lives. If we need to be out there evangelizing, we need to evangelize. Whatever God's gift has been given to you needs to be used. Number two, he says, they dug deep and they put a foundation on the rock. They built on the right surface. The rock is the Word of God. It's not any other news media. It's not the world's politically incorrectness. It is the Word of God. And if we're not building upon that foundation, then we're building on sand. Number three, you need to build it to last. It says there, it could not be shaken. It can't be torn down. You gotta hide it in your heart that you might not sin against God. And fourth, you need to build it by the instructions. It was built well. We gotta go back to the basics. And we gotta start from the beginning. And we need to delve ourselves back into Word of God, and by prayer and fasting and complete surrender, turn our lives back to what Jesus Christ says and do what He says. Now, here's some principles about building. I've watched the guys building my new house. I love it. They're awesome. There's no quick fixes in life, in building a house or walking in faith. There are no quick fixes. Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. It's got to be done every day. There's no shortcuts to heaven. There's no easy way to live the Christ-like life, especially in this world we're living in today, because we will be attacked. Well, let me erase that. We are being attacked on everything we believe and stand for. And just because it's accepted doesn't mean it's acceptable to God. That's our lives in Christ. Sometimes just one step forward is all that's needed to put us on the right path and move us forward. Just because it's accepted doesn't mean it's acceptable to God. And just because it's acceptable to the world doesn't mean it's right. And going along to get along is a recipe for spiritual disaster. Giving up on the Word of God, giving up on our faith, turning our back on Jesus Christ, stopping attending church, going somewhere else for the whatever, is a disaster waiting to happen. We have to dig our heels in for Christ to make a difference. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13-14, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road, or the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through that broad way. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Not everyone that enters into heaven is going to say, Lord, Lord, will be accepted. He will say, I never knew you. I have three recognitions today, real quickly. Three truths that I want to recognize. Recognize truth number one, Jesus Christ is that narrow way. There is no other way to heaven. He calls himself the door. He calls himself the good shepherd. And you put those two descriptive words of who he is. In that day, shepherds often at nighttime would try to find a place where they could herd the sheep into where there was only one entrance to get out. And the shepherd would lay himself down in that entrance at that door, and he would protect those sheep with his life from any attacker that might come. Jesus Christ died for us. He blocked the way to hell and gave us the way to heaven when he died on that cross, rose from the grave, and ascended there to prepare a place for us and is coming again for us. He is the narrow way. He laid down his life. Jesus said in 14:6 of John, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. In Luke 13:23 and following, he says, Lord, somebody came to him and said, Lord, will only a few people be saved? They were beginning to get it. And Jesus said, you need to make every effort to enter through that narrow door. The word in Greek is you got to strive. You got to make the effort. You've got to move forward. He says, for many, I tell you, will try to enter and they will not be able to because they're not entering the right way. They're not entering by faith and trust in Christ. Truth number two, recognition number two. You must respond to that invitation one way or the other. When he says, make every effort, striving is your effort, not his. He's standing there. There is no absentee ballot for you to get to heaven. There is no power of attorney on your behalf that will stand there for you but Christ himself. There's no proxy. You have to receive him by faith in your heart and allow him to fill you with his Holy Spirit to make that difference for the days to come. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock it. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. You and I have to open that door, and we have to let him come in. And when he comes in, sometimes he will clean house. We don't like to hear that, do we? But he also said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He has to clean house. He will still give you rest. Recognition, truth number three, remember, it's not what you do, but it's what he's already done. We cannot, by what I'm saying, work our way into heaven. That's not going to happen. That sounds like I'm contradicting myself, but I want you to understand, striving is proving when it comes to receiving what God has given us. John 13:35. But by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Who have you forgiven this week? Well, let me rephrase it. Who will you not forgive this week? Who are you not forgiving this week? You know, it's a hard life we live in, but he said, love one another. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. It doesn't mean, as I said in the judgment message last week, that we don't discern right from wrong. We don't approve bad behavior. But we love the person hoping that they'll come to know Christ and make that difference. 1 John 2:3 says, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Wow. So why would anybody in this parable build their house on the sand? Well, here's why. To save time. To avoid hard work. To have it done quickly. So we can be like our neighbors. Those are terrible reasons to build too fast. But there's also the idea of ignorance. Didn't know the storms were going to come. Didn't know the location was that bad. There's the idea of indifference. I don't care what others say. And then there's the idea of pride. I don't need anybody's help. There's a story of a business that was built around the abilities of people and the contacts made and everything, and the business was growing and there were good workers and there were lazy workers, and one day the owner of the business posted that he was going to promote from within the body a person to this position, and he put down the criteria of what they needed to know and do and that kind of stuff. A particular individual within the organization signed up to be interviewed for the job. He comes in and he says, I've been here longer than anybody. I have seniority. I deserve the job, and I want it. And the boss opened up his file. He says, now, you have been here the longest. And you're absent at least once or twice a month. That's not sickness. You're late almost every week. Your production is the lowest of anybody that does the same job you're doing. Why would I promote you? And he didn't. I don't want to get to heaven and have that book open and God say, well, you were absent once a week and late about every day and didn't do much. But you know, by grace, he will accept me. What about you? I leave you today with this last question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? I tell you, I didn't look around, but I felt the presence of God saying to us, to me, today is the day. Today. Not tomorrow. I don't need to think about it. I don't need to go get a lawyer and figure out the right words. I don't have to have a representative. Today is the day of salvation. Now, that doesn't mean we're all lost. I'm not saying that, because I don't believe that. But I do believe we've lost our way. Not just as a church, but as a nation. And we've let everything else take control. And we have forgotten what God has said to us. And so the invitation is simply this. If you're willing today to say, Lord, I want to do what you say do and only what you say do, then you need to just come and spend a moment at the altar one more time. We can't pray too much. Cannot. Let's pray. God, as we think on these things and recognize that we're in dire straits, I do pray from a spirit of brokenness and desperation. There's a great need to teach our children, to teach our youth, our young adults, and everyone else in this community that Jesus Christ died for them, that he's alive, that this isn't a fantasy or a fairy tale, that this is more real than anything they could ever imagine. And our world needs Jesus, but we need him too. So when you ask, what am I going to do with Jesus, I'm going to put you first in my life. I'm going to open that door and let you come in. And Lord, if you've got a clean house, that's good. I'm going to stand there and say amen. Lord, if you need to nurture someone through, that'll be great too. If you want to show us where we're to go, that'll be awesome. But right now, Lord, we pray that we will live for you and prove by our love that we are your children. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Living for Jesus, hymn of commitment. If you're willing to live for Jesus and you want to make a public demonstration of it, you just come and stand and we'll have a closing prayer, or you can come and pray and go back. If you want me to pray with you, I would love that. Ray would be here. He could be glad to pray with you. Let's make sure that we are living for him. Let's stand. Let's sing. Number of years ago, and this is not scripted either. A number of years ago, I had a burden and a heart for the young adult, young married, college career. And God laid on my heart to go to someone, and I did. And I said, I've been praying about this, and I've been just burdened. And I asked them to pray about being a part of that ministry. 2 months later, they left the church. Didn't want any part of it. You know, God wants us to do something. We need workers with our youth. We need workers with young adults. We need people who are willing to let God lead them in these areas and reach out into the community and make a difference. And we can do it. I've heard preachers say, everybody that God needs to do everything that needs to be done in your church is already there, or God's got them on the way. And the other preacher said, you know, God is the God of cattle on 1,000 hillsides. And you think you have money problem? God's got all the money in the world. What is it God's saying to you? Let's pray. Father, as we're dismissed, we're never dismissed. We just leave this place of corporate worship to go out of these doors and worship you in spirit and truth every day of our life in everything we say and do. We praise you. Thank you for speaking to us this morning, touching our hearts deeply, moving us by your power and spirit. Now use us for your glory. Lord, may the devil be bound and cast away. May lives be filled with your spirit. May many come to know Christ because you moved in our lives today. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.